Good morning, everybody, and a warm welcome to All Saints Church this morning. Not everybody knows me, I don't think, yet. It's been particularly difficult during this time of COVID for me to get to know very many people, but my name is the Reverend Helen Wilkinson, and I retired from stipendiary ministry a year ago, and I've come here to kind of retire or semi-retire, shall we say, because you never retire when you're a member of God's family. And we'll be hearing a little bit more later about the gifts that God seeks to use in his church so that each of us benefits together as a whole. And I've got the real pleasure this morning of calling some bands of marriage as we begin. I publish the banns of marriage between William George Vine of St. Mary the Virgin Lawford and Annabel Phoebe Helen Crowther of All Saints, Malvern Wells and Wych. This is the second time of asking. If any of you knows any reason in law why they may not be marry each other, you have to declare it. So shall we pray together for this couple as they prepare for their wedding day? Lord of love, we pray for William and for Annabel. May their marriage be life-affirming and lifelong. Be with them in their preparations and on their wedding day. Give them love in their hearts throughout their married life together. And may they be very conscious at this time of your love for them. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have a first at All Saints this morning in that we're being live streamed. So that's it's really great that we can have that facility in the 21st century at this time. And just one or two notices as we begin. As a church, we're joining in with St. Andrew's and other churches in the diocese in the big read, the big church read. And accompanying this new sermon series, there is a book. Diana's going to come and tell us a little bit about what it's all about.
Before I knew this was the church's big read, my daughter gave me this book for my birthday, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. I rather felt she was trying to say something, and I wasn't very pleased with the book. However, when I've got into it, it is the ideal book for COVID because most of us who aren't working have more leisure now, and there's the possibility of looking at our lifestyles in a new way. So Dave is suggesting that the house groups look at this, and for those, so I'm inviting any not in a house group who would like to read this book and talk about it to join Janet and me. So far we've got a group of two, and we're going to put a sheet at the back. Would you like to sign up if you're interested in joining a group to read this book, which is very good, quite funny, also quite hard-hitting. Join the group and we'll see where we go with the discussions of it. So sign up at the back if you're interested. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. In fact, that book, the title of that, is going to be form the basis for our sermon series in the coming year, months ahead, up to the time of Advent. And we are the church, aren't we? We are learning to be God's kingdom people. And that's the series that we're looking at the moment. And this week we are considering what it means to be a people who value and serve each other. As it says on our website, that we're partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities. A people who value and serve each other. So shall we pray together as we begin? Heavenly Father, we praise you that we can come this morning to worship you in person with one another. Despite the restrictions, we thank you that you are here with us by your Spirit. And we ask that this morning you will lift our eyes from the things that irritate you us or stress us or make us fearful and fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith, that we might know you more clearly, love you more dearly and follow you more nearly day by day. Amen. Can I invite you to stand as we're going to say a psalm together? This is Psalm 66, and we're going to say this alternate verses as we can't sing a hymn together. So we're going to, as Janet plays, we're going to join in. I will take the odd-numbered verses, so I'm speaking from the gold, and we all join in with the white. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for humankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let us not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. But you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your table with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. As we consider how great God is, we're now going to have a time of confession as we come before him. So can I invite you to either sit or kneel to pray? The psalm continues. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he's done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. As fellow members of the body of Christ, I'm going to begin my confession to you in the gold print. And then I'd like to ask you to respond in the white. Then the process is then reversed. So as you confess to me in the white, I will declare God's forgiveness over you using the gold. So let us in silence confess our faults and admit our weakness. Before God, with the people of God, I confess to my brokenness, to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world. May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Amen. Before God, with the people of God, we confess to our brokenness, to the ways we wound our lives, the lives of others, and the life of the world. May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Amen. The end of the psalm reminds us of God's gift of forgiveness. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the psalmist says, the Lord would not have listened, but God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to the God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. God never withholds his love from us when we come to him. And scripture reminds us time and again that he's loved us with an everlasting love, that he's engraved us on the palms of his hands. We are his. And so we're going to stay seated as we prayerfully give thanks for his forgiveness and love as we listen to our next song. Now Trish has our Bible reading.
The reading today is from 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12. Unity and diversity in the body. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but there its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now Jackie has our word to come. Thank you. And I'm just going to pray for her before she begins. Father God, thank you so much for Jackie. Thank you for her gifts. And we pray, Father, now that your Holy Spirit will speak through her to each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have to say, I quite find that reading quite amusing at times. It reminds me of an ecclesiastical head, shoulders, knees and toes. But it got me thinking. The title today is A People Who Serve and Value Each Other. And then I thought, but why? Why do we serve and value each other? We don't do it out of duty. We serve and we value out of love, and not our love either, but as a direct consequence of the love that God pours out to us and into us. This is not about brownie points of earning our way into God's good books. This is about who we are, about our sort of spiritual DNA, about who made us. It is a response to God within us, indeed within us all. It is about doing what God is constantly about. Indeed, it is about who God is. And John tells us that God is love in 1 John 4. So bearing all that in mind, you might wonder what on earth is going on in the church in Corinth. So I thought I'd better put it a bit into context. Because Corinth was a young church. It was set up and was existing in a multicultural, pluralistic society. That's a society that recognised more than one source of authority or principles, a society similar to the one most churches the world over exist in nowadays. Control of that society was exercised through the many cults, guilds, societies, and groups that existed. And within such a society, their practices. It was not good enough to swear that you were a good, law-abiding member of Group A. You had to do what Group A did. Not surprisingly, then, this led to conflict with the Christian church, where it was often prohibited to take part in or join in certain acts. Besides, you can almost hear the other parts of society whispering. They didn't trust Christians because they didn't do what the rest of society did. Are they really one of us? You can almost hear them asking. But do we do this even now? Are we subconsciously thinking this way about others who hold different beliefs, even slightly different beliefs, and do things differently? The fear of difference leads to discrimination. Discrimination excludes valuing the other. So that's where the church was, but what about the actual reading? Well, it's part of a longer discourse on elitism and individualism that was painfully present in the congregation and often coming to the fore during times of worship. The Corinthian church, you see, was lively and abundantly blessed with spiritual gifts. To really grasp the context into which Paul was speaking, we need to understand that phenomena such as speaking in tongues was not confined to the Christian church. In the Hellenistic world, the Greek-speaking world, ecstatic speech, as it was called there, often unintelligible, often needing translation, was a highly prized gift, thought to be the inspiration of a person's psyche by a divine spirit, and it was held in very high esteem in the Hellenistic world. You could think of it as a badge of honor, a sign of your worth. Now, as you might imagine, this was causing rivalry and division among the people. Some were thinking they were better than others, seeking and reveling in the prestige assigned to them by man, rather than working for the good of the community. It was dividing them, and others were becoming disillusioned and unhappy with their own gifts from God. Paul is battling against all of this. He's attempting to bring them to their senses and bring them together. And he starts by telling the most fundamental truth. The Spirit who comes from God calls them into community. Gifts are for the good of the community, for unity, not division. And since they are dispensed by the same Spirit, they are all equal. There's no hierarchy of gifts. A community functions best when there is mutual interdependence. And that's why we get this beautiful metaphor of the body. If a body was all bits, in a body, all bits are required for the body to function healthily. There's no room for comparison or conflict. You cannot write people off and still claim to love them. Paul is constantly trying to resolve problems and to reinforce the bonds between the believers. And he sought to reinforce those bonds between the groups whilst honouring the differences of each group. He was a man who'd learned the hard way to live with the tension of difference. He turned into a man who was about living in community, in communion with each other, rather than persecuting the community. It's always rather scary when one group is pitted against another, particularly when the ones doing the pitting are the ones in authority. It comes back to that old adage, divide and conquer. If a community is divided, it's much easier to break up, to dismiss. Only by standing together, by honouring differences, of living with differences, of living with the tensions, can a community survive in any atmosphere, but particularly in an atmosphere of persecution and dismissal. But that doesn't mean to say that there is uniformity, but there is unity. For a community to flourish, we need to affirm people's diverse gifts. We need to support people as they develop, and we need to affirm that unity. Now, as a church, we'd like to think we're above all that nonsense. But I want to ask us the question, are we? Are we really? Over the past few weeks, I've had the joy of meeting up with people who serve in other churches. And let me tell you, we are lucky here. Because it saddens me to say that they were able to tell me the stories of people who suffer at the hands of those that think they are above. Music group leaders are mercilessly undermined by choir masters and organists, and vice versa. We have youth leaders who feel they have little support. Thank God that we are at least moving in the right direction here. So yes, pecking orders are well and truly established throughout society, and I think set in concrete. It is, of course, human nature to seek to be part of a group. It is indeed, I think, even true to say that you seek to be right, to set yourself up as the one with all the answers. It's much easier to live in a world of right and wrong rather than living with the joy and the challenge of living with not an either-or, but an either-and, of living with mystery. And it's true not just in churches, it's true of society as a whole. We're all in this together, I once heard a politician say, which clearly wasn't the case in that particular instance. However, in one way, he, and it was a gentleman, he was right. We are in this, or more particularly, we are on this planet together. We were all created by God. No one beamed down from another dimension, as far as I'm aware. I think we'd have heard about it on the news, even with COVID, don't you? So no matter how different they are, we are all on it together. We are all human. We are all linked, if you like, by a fine golden thread running through us all, pulling us all together, knitting us together, if we'd let it. That thread is God's love, flowing into and out of each one of us, to each and every one of us. We frustrate God's plans if we hold it for whatever reason, or worse, try to hold on to it just for us. So it's not okay to dismiss or discount anyone just because we see things differently or have different gifts. We all work together, or we fail together. And that's as true in a congregation, a town, a city, a nation, a continent, the world. The big question is, can communities overcome the selfishness inherent in our lives to reach out into the lives of others? And if not, what's stopping them? I suspect it's the fear of difference and the protective nature of selfishness. Sometimes we just need a great big upset in our lives to enable us to see things differently. One of the joys of lockdown was that I was able to watch far more television than was perhaps good for me. But I did get to see a film which I'd been meaning to see, never got round to it. It was called Goodbye, Christopher Robin. Some of you might have seen it. It's the story of A.A. Milne and how he got to writing about Winnie the Pooh. A.A. Milne returned from World War I, a man who'd seen far more in his young years than he ever should have had to. So affected was he by his experience, he decided, because he had nothing better to do at that point, to write an anti-war book. It's still in print if you wish to read it. His vision was this. What if peoples all got together and decided not to do war, but settle their differences through talking? Now his wife, a beautiful young socialite who'd not seen what he'd seen, was scathing, suggesting it was a waste of his time and talents, as pointless as writing an anti-Wednesday book. It might not be Tuesday, she said, but Wednesday was inevitable. And apart from staying in bed and pulling the blankets over your head, nothing you could do would change that. His experience, though, in the war had opened his eyes to a possible different way. Perhaps our experiences over the past months will give us all a different perspective, give us eyes to see in a different way, a way that does not seek to view others as in or out, a way that sees all, cares for all, serves all, honours all, no matter how different they are from us. Just as Jesus did when he walked this earth. Jesus existed on the margins of his faith. He was the interface between the perceived ins and those that were perceived as out. That's his challenge to us, to do as he did. Perhaps something good will come from COVID. Perhaps COVID will help us to honour those who have kept us safe during the past months. The cleaners, the nurses, doctors, paramedics, and even teachers. Those people who continued on the front line when most others were not or could not. Those people that perhaps we take most for granted, who exist at the heart of society, but are often not recognised for the difficult jobs they do tirelessly, day after day. Maybe paramedics won't need to learn self-defence or conflict resolution tactics. Maybe cleaners won't be ignored and walked past. Maybe now that people have learnt what it's like to teach their children, they'll cut the teachers some slack. We live in hope. And perhaps more people will be inspired to do their bit, to look around, to see where there's some need, to see where their talents and gifts are best deployed, to get involved, to use their gifts and talents for the benefit of all, not just to earn money, but to share God's love with all.